Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning I told you I was going to bring a message that's going to hopefully bring some honor to the ones who have sacrificed their lives for us. And then we're going to focus on the one who sacrificed his life for us. And hopefully it'll be... a blessing to you. Before I get going on, before I even read the Word of God this evening, I want to share with you something that I believe is personal to me, and it's something that I really appreciate from our country, and that is this: men and women who decide to join the military at a very young age, to dedicate their lives to protect us from the harms that our enemy is trying to bring against us. Many men and women will stay up late at night watching our country, whether it be through sources of today, through satellite dishes that we have in the sky. Yes, Big Brother's watching us. They take care of those things, and I appreciate so very much their willingness to lay their lives on the line for us. And I don't know if you know anybody personally that has served in the military, but if you do, I would encourage you to take some time out this weekend and give them a phone call, shoot them a text, just to let them know that you appreciate what they have done. Doc Martin taught me something years ago, too. He said it wasn't just the men and women who went out the battlefield that served the country. Said even back during World War I, World War II, many civilians would dedicate their lives to begin to repair equipment and begin to even build equipment for the military for them to use. And so with him teaching me that, I can't go any further without saying thank you to those men and women who worked in the factory plants to keep our men and women supplied with the needs that they had. And some things that we don't think about, you know, rations had to be made, our ammunition had to be taken care of, or anything that you can think of, many civilians took a part in that. And so I just want to say thank you for Doc Martin for educating me in that area, because a lot of us don't think of those things. I love studying about the history when it comes to warfare. One of the things that I learned as I began to study a lot of these things as a younger child, and that was the man of George Washington, our first president. George Washington had a great military mind, but a lot of folks don't recall that he lost a lot of men before they even went to battle. Did you guys know that? The reason why he lost a lot of men before he even went to battle, because the conditions that they lived in were not sanitary. Matter of fact, something that they didn't take in consideration, because when you're out on the field, you have to get rid of the things that's in your body. And so they would go not too far from the camp to do the business that they needed to do to take care of themselves. That would pollute the area that they're in. And many men would get sick during that time, and they would die from that. A lot of folks probably didn't know those things about that. He actually brought in a specialist to figure this out. Why are my men dying before they even go to battle? And so this man came in and began to overlook everything, and he said, this is exactly what's taking place. You need to move your latrine, not to be around the campground and move it elsewhere. A simple solution to that. But he lost a lot of men because of those things. But Memorial Day is a very special day to a lot of people. It's a sad day as well, because it's a time of reflection. Before I get going on to our message, go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you haven't already, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 19 verses. Verse number 19 is the verse that we're going to focus on tonight, but I want to read this chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's pray. Lord, again, as we had the privilege to open up your word and to read it, God, I pray that even though as we're going to be dealing with one particular verse here, God, I pray that all these verses that we read would come back to our mind throughout this week. Lord, one just jumped out at me as I was just reading it, Lord, and it's to keep all of our conversations holy. Lord, there is a message in that, and Lord, I have failed you in that area. And so, God, thank you for pricking my heart this very minute to help me to realize there are some areas that I still need to be working on. God, I pray that we would be bringing honor to your son tonight as it is deserved. And God, I pray that you just watch over us, guide and protect us throughout this evening. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Freedom because of Christ. That's the title for our message tonight, Freedom because of Christ. Memorial Day. It's the last Monday in May. It is a day on the civil calendar for remembering and honoring those who have given their lives in battle. I would hate to find out the exact number of how many men and women who have sacrificed their life for you and for me so that we can have the freedom that we have today. And in just a few short months, we're going to celebrate even more our independence of our country. And we're able to do those things because of many men and women giving their lives for us. The day is also known as a Decoration Day. You can drive around our town and you can go through our cemeteries. And matter of fact, probably earlier this past week, Monday, I began to see many graves become decorated with flowers. I've seen some flags put on the graves. I've seen one person particularly, as I was driving by, had her blanket out upon the grave and just begin to sit there and begin to just have their time alone with her loved one that they just recently lost. And people grieve a little bit differently than everybody else. Some take it very hard. Some can grieve for years. Some can grieve for just a few short moments and they move on. But as I begin to see this process take place this week, my mind began to think about why are we even here in our country? Why do we even come to this point? Well, it's because there are men and women who put their lives on the line for us. And so you begin to see graves become decorated, which I'll be honest with you, it's nice to see a grave decorated. It's nice to see some flags out there. It's nice to see some flowers put on there because you're still thinking of that individual. You haven't stopped loving them. Actually, you still love them. Your love continues to grow. You're just not able to, you can voice it, but they can no longer hear it. But it's a day of decoration for the custom of placing flags at the graves of the patriotic dead. Memorial Day began in the year 1868. A lot of us weren't here during that time. There's probably two people maybe here during that time. It might be the Foots, I don't know. But they could have been there. It's just a thought that came to my mind. Sorry, Julie, I got to get you because you get me. But Memorial Day began in the year of 1868. It is a day that most Americans get off from work. And many Americans will stay home tomorrow. There is very little tribute anymore to the ones who sacrificed their lives so that we can have and enjoy our freedom today. I know I'm still a relatively young man. I realize those things, but I can remember back even in the days of my youth where Memorial Day, Labor Day would be holidays where people would actually take the time and the consideration and really show us and share with us the meaning of those holidays. I do remember that time. But now as our years are going away from us, I believe that we're turning away from our history. We're wanting to forget some things. Matter of fact, our world today is going even so far to try to remove things from our history. I mean, you can remove statues, you can remove all those things, but the fact of the matter is history. You can't change it. And Siri, please give us... I'm just kidding. That one really threw me off. I'm sorry, Chris, but I got to tell this story. I remember when we were in Tennant, Iowa. I'm saying this to get my mind back on track. And we're having a potluck, and the whole church was invited. It's just when we first started the church. And I can remember there was a guy named Jack in there. And I'm preaching, and I'm doing some yelling during this time, and all of a sudden I hear Jack. Hey, yeah, this is Jack from New Hope Baptist Church. We're going to eat some more chicken. That's when you just drop the mic and walk off. but hey, things happen in church. That's okay. Things happen just to make sure that we're on our toes. But anyway, many young men and some young ladies would go to war, never making it home again. There are some sad things that take place when you think about war. I'm going to name some realistic things that happens, and some it might penetrate to the heart, some might not even think nothing of it. But moms and dads, as they see their young people put on that military uniform, and they know that they're at war, and as they get on that bus, they try to be brave enough to say their goodbyes. Knowing that it might be their last goodbye, knowing that it might be with realization setting in very quickly that they may never see their kids alive. Some heartaches that go through with this, that takes place with this. We automatically think of the ones that have given up their lives, but we forget about the ones that let them go. There's a grieving process for these folks. Some of them probably couldn't bear seeing these things take place. I don't know. I wasn't there on those occasions. But I can just imagine the news as the military men would come to the door and they'd knock on the door and mom and dad would answer the door and automatically they would know what was taking place and they were being told that their son or daughter was killed in battle. The heaviness that would be on the heart of that individual, I can't even begin to imagine. This past week, our country had an unfortunate situation take place. And as I spoke to Wednesday night, it's not a Democrat thing, it's not a Republican thing, it's a heart issue. And we must understand that. Evil exists within the heart. And if you want to play those games and try to push it upon the Republicans and Democrats, I'm just going to be honest with you. They're both corrupt. You want my honest opinion, I'm giving it to you right now. But it comes down to the heart. There were 19 children that were killed. I can't imagine, as I begin to think about my own daughter and what she has meant for me, getting the news from an officer saying, your child is gone. But it wasn't just 19 children that went out into eternity this past week. There are also two school teachers that went out to eternity. By the way, I hope to God that you see the importance of praying for our school teachers. A lot of you guys don't know this, but Dominique, she's a school teacher at Crescent Elementary. And this is her first year on a job. Even though she's teaching young kids, she needs your prayers. Because it was the fourth and fifth graders who were attacked this week. And I bet she would welcome you to pray for her But these two teachers both went out into eternity this past week. There are some stories that one of the teachers would begin to protect the young people so that they wouldn't come in harm's way. One of the teachers that went out to eternity was married for 24, 25 years. They had four kids, and you guys probably heard the story, and if you haven't, I'm just telling it to you right now. The husband of this lady went to go look at the memorial that was prepared for her at the school where her life was taken. Went there, looked at the memorial that was right before him. You can see him walking away, sobbing with tears coming out of his eyes. And just shortly after he gets home, he dies. They say he died of a massive heart attack, but they also believe that the massive heart attack came along because it was a broken heart. It was a broken heart. Moms and dads would say their goodbyes. Realization would set in that they might not see their kids alive. Years later, the remains of the deceased have yet to be found on many soldiers. I'm still reading, and I'm still seeing some documentaries of soldiers 55, 60 years later that are still being found. And some family members are able to have some closure with the deceased of their loved one. And people need closure. And so years later, they would find their remains, and they would get their closure that they deserved. Again, their bloodshed was shed for us for this reason, so that you and I can experience the freedom that we have today. But what do you mean by freedom? Meaning we have the liberty to go out, do whatever we want. That's the freedom that I'm talking about. By the way, young people that are sitting here today, and I'm including in this as well, I do not know of the freedom that these elderly people experience as a child. Because it seems as if our Congress and our Senate are passing more bills to try to control us. That's just another thought. I won't get into that. But their blood was shed for us so that we can have freedom. And I enjoy freedom. I enjoy being able to do some things that I like to do. This afternoon, I had the privilege, you know, I got my nephew and niece, they're in town with their mom and dad, and I decided, you know what, let's have some fun. I'm not normally known as the fun guy. I'm not talking about fungus, folks. I'm not known as the fun guy. I'm known as the guy who's got a stern look on his face that means business, but I enjoy having fun, and I tell you what, I enjoyed the freedom this afternoon watching my nephews and nieces trying to kayak and paddleboard. It was a lot of fun for me. I enjoyed watching Jenna being a half mile away from us all on a paddleboard because the wind was so forceful out there, and the waves were some big waves for them that she could not paddle back. And I was nervous for her, to be honest with you, because that's a long way for a 235-pound guy to swim if something happens. And thankfully, London is at my direction. I said, go out there, please rescue your cousin. And he went out there in a kayak, and she's laying on the paddleboard, and she puts her hands on the back of his kayak, and he's
He's really trying to row. I mean, this dude was fighting the wind and everything else, and had a smile on his face. I thought it was a smile. Maybe it was tears from a distance. But I enjoyed being able to have that type of freedom. Amen? I enjoyed that. But freedom from what? To pause for a few moments for this reason, to thank the men and women for their sacrifice. Not only that, but we also have, and some of us might not agree with this, but we also have the freedom to protest what they did. And some do those things. Some go off to war and they come back and they're mistreated. And they have that right because of the freedom that's instilled in them. Every battle that has taken place has come at a cost. That cost is always the bloodshed of a human life. And that's what takes place. You cannot have war without bloodshed. And I'm not talking about just war between countries. I'm also talking about war with our own Americans on the streets of our own cities. There's always bloodshed that takes place. We as Americans should always remember what every soldier has done for this country. And we should be thankful for what they will continue to do for us. They do this willingly. They're not forced into this. Some do it because they want to further their career and education, and the military would take care of that. But again, they do it because they want to. And we need to be grateful for those things. I remember years ago, as you fly into Atlanta is one of the big airport hubs for military to come in as they're flying across, to go across seas here. And I remember years ago as we're in there, Jalen was a very little girl. We flew in from New York. We had a layover there in Atlanta. And Atlanta's a big airport. And I remember we had about a three-hour layover in there. And if you want to have fun in an airport, man, go to these big cities. They got train rides. And Jeff and I experienced one in Newark a few weeks ago. And I remember getting on that thing, and I seen soldier after soldier after soldier. Here's something that took place that I really enjoyed seeing. And that was Jalen thanking the military men for their service. And to see their eyes light up from a 6-7-year-old kid. Of course, she was probed by her parents to do those things. But it meant so much to them. And we need to take the time to show our appreciation for them. They should always be honored. But with that being said, now we must shift our focus to the greatest hero of them all. The one who left his heavenly home to give us and offer to us what no man could ever do. And that is eternal life. That is a home with him in glory. In 1 Peter that we just read, Peter talks about the blood shed of another individual named Jesus. And it talks about how it says in verse number 19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ. I begin to think about how precious the blood of Jesus is. I have some thoughts on why Peter said his blood is precious. And what comes to my mind is this. His blood was and is precious because his blood was and is holy. His blood is precious because not only is it holy, but it is pure. Why is it pure? Because he is royalty. He is the Son of God who had nothing to gain but everything to lose. He is the greatest hero of them all. He is a man who has taken on many battles for us. If you were sitting in our Sunday school class this morning, you would have heard of the battles that Jesus takes on for us. And as he encourages us to stand, he's right out in front of us, taking those hits for us. He has taken on many battles for us, battles that we have no knowledge of, battles that we might not have any recollection of, because there's a lot of invisible battles that take place. And he continues to do that to this very day. With that battle that is taking place, one thing that I have come to really appreciate about the precious blood of Jesus is this: he has yet to stop fighting for you and for me. And the reason why he has not stopped fighting for you and for me, because he has such a great love for us that he's willing to do anything and everything. I begin to think about, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I begin to think about soldiers and what they go through. And one of the things that came to my mind, and I'm going to deal with it here in a little bit, but I got to say it because it's on my mind, is the lack of sleep that they get. So Jesus is yet to stop fighting for us. But what does he continue to do as one of the greatest soldiers of all times, one of the greatest heroes of all time? Here's what he continues to do. Even with the battle wounds that he has, the scars that he bears because of what he did on Calvary for us, here's what our soldier Jesus Christ does to this day. He continues to heal the sick. Even with, think about this. Christ is the ultimate multitasker. Fighting battles, healing the sick, saving souls, blessing us financially, going back to healing the sick. It's amazing how Jesus can keep all this together. And this is what he does. And then on top of all that, after healing and after saving souls, he blesses us beyond our imaginations. I can't get over that. But just like the soldiers of today when returning from war, especially if you go back to the Vietnam War, here's what took place in their life. Many men and women were ridiculed and rejected and mocked. They were often forgotten about. Many of them have become homeless, living upon the streets, no one taking care of them. But Jesus goes through these things as well as a soldier. He's ridiculed, he's mocked, he's forgotten about. He goes through all those daily experiences as well. But yet he continues to fight and plead for the ones who reject him. He's still going to his Father on our behalf. Why? Because he is the ultimate soldier. Being a king isn't always a glamorous life. Often he fights alone. And with that being said, has many restless nights. To be honest with you, and this is just my thoughts, I believe Jesus doesn't sleep. He's got a lot going on. How does he have time to sleep? He's always on guard, always watching out for us, watching out for any little obstacle that might come in our way. And obstacles in warfare, you would think of them as booby traps, or you would think of them as mines as well. We didn't go to this site this time around. We went to a different part by the Jordan River, but the place where they believe that Jesus was baptized in is a very dirty part of the Jordan River. It's actually polluted. And as you're driving down this road, there are still, and they have signs out there, there are still signs that are saying this: stay on the road because there are mines out here. And so Jesus is constantly on guard to protect us. Why don't we consider Jesus a soldier? After all, he is fighting for us, is he not? Why does he do this, knowing that man will reject him? And the reason why he does this is because of this. He does it because of the love for mankind. He does this. I appreciate Pastor's message so much this morning. You know, he was kidding about how you like my new style of preaching, 10, 15 minute messages. But I'll be honest with you, his 10, 15 minute messages these past 2 months have more impact than a 35, 40 minute message. There's so much truth there, and I appreciate that so much. But Jesus does this, one, because he loves us, and he wants to be our friend. And that's what a pastor was kind of saying this morning as he was closing his message, how he appreciates your friendship. Jesus, our soldier, does this because he's your friend. His blood is precious because when it was shed, he had every single person on his mind. Before they were born, he had them on his mind. As he's walking from the Mount of Olives through the Garden of Gethsemane to Golgotha, he had you on his mind. That's something that it's hard to fathom. He wasn't going to be convinced not to go to Calvary. There came a day when Jesus, the greatest soldier of them all, was going to be captured. And when he was captured, there was going to be this horrific beating that was going to take place in his life. There are many POWs that have experienced great beatings from their enemies. We had one, I believe it was our senator in Congress a few years ago, John McCain, who was a man who was captured and a man who was beaten while he was captured. Really lost the use of his arm. Bob Dole, I believe, was the same way. They go through horrific beatings in their life. Why would they do that? Why would they take the chance to go to the military, to go to war, and then possibly be captured and to take a beating? Because they care about the country the same way Jesus cares about you. His blood is precious because he was willing to lay down his life for us. Soldiers who go off to war, who don't even know most of us, are willing to sacrifice their life for us. But there's a difference between them and between Jesus Christ. The difference is they're man, and they could not offer eternal life the way Jesus can. But he's willing to lay down his life for us. They would whip him, they would beat him, and they would spit upon his face, and they would pluck out his beard. Some of us, as we begin to shave our face, and I'm talking about men specifically, as we begin to shave our face, if we don't have a sharp razor and it's dull, what does that normally do to us? It hurts. Just imagine if you had a full beard and somebody out of spite and somebody out of hatred begin to kick you while you're down, and then on top of it all, will grab the very hairs off of your face and just begin to pluck it out. Oh, the pain that would take place during that time. They would have tried to, at that time, would try to break his will, but they could not break his will, and he continued to take the beating. Soldiers at night will lay in their bunkers, hearing of rockets and missiles and gunfire racing above their heads. Grenades would be thrown at them, and at times, because of these things coming at them, they wouldn't lose their life, but they would lose the very limbs that God gave them. Some were carried off the field with their legs amputated right then and there, and their arms gone from them. That is a scene that takes place of a soldier. But here's what I've noticed about soldiers, and here's what I've noticed about reading history. Young people, I encourage you to read your history. They would stay in those bunkers, regardless if they lost a leg. They would put a tourniquet upon them. They would tie it off as quickly and as tight as they could so that they wouldn't have any blood loss. And then they would go right back, if they could, fighting their enemy. Why did they do this? Because they believed in the cause that they were fighting for. Jesus allowed himself to continue his beating because he believed in the cause that he was going to die for you, and that his death was going to be beneficial for you. His death was beneficial for us because upon his death, he literally took your sin, my sin, and he placed it upon him. But no man could kill him. He gave up the ghost for this reason. Because he's the ultimate hero. Because he values your life. The cause was this. He wants all of us to have a home in heaven with him. Amen. He is fighting a battle this day so that we can have freedom from what? Is it freedom from our sin? Yes, I believe it's freedom from our sin, but I believe it goes even further than that. And it is freedom from hell. I don't know anybody in their right mind who wants to go to hell. Hell is a very real place. There's more scripture about hell than there is heaven. Hell is very real. And I hear people on many different occasions, and they'll say these words, and please forgive me, but they'll say these words, just go to hell. That is the worst thing that an individual can say to another person. Why would you wish, or why would you want, or why would you even say those things and allow them to come out of their mouth? Do you not know what hell is? Hell is what Jesus is wanting to save us from. Hell is what is why he went to the cross. Hell is why he took the beating. Hell is why he allowed his blood to be shed from us. And that's a place that he wants us to have a freedom from. Many, because of his great sacrifice, are experiencing his salvation. I'm one of them. I'm experiencing his salvation. That was offered to me. And it was offered to you as well. Why was it offered to us? Because he said, okay, God, let my blood be shed for them. Let me die for them so that they can have a home with me. His salvation offers us freedom if we were to accept it. He has paid the ultimate price on the cross. He shed his precious blood for your freedom. Just like the soldiers today sacrificed and shed their blood so that we can have our freedom in our country. But Christ shed his blood so that you can have freedom from hell and that you can be with him for eternity. He's paid the ultimate price. But every day, we as believers should always remember what our greatest hero did at Calvary. We should never forget of what he went through. We should never forget of the torture that he experienced on his body at that time. We should never try to erase history. We should never try to cover up his scars. Because he shed his precious blood for you and for me. And we should always remember that. I'll be honest with you, I really didn't know how to go about tonight's lesson. Because as I begin to think about it, well, this is kind of like an Easter lesson. And the words that were told back to me was, hey, we should never get tired of hearing of what Jesus did for us. We should never, Jeff, I know you're in here, we should never get tired of singing a song, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose from victory, from the dark domain. And we live forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose. We should never get tired of those songs. Why? Because he's our ultimate hero. He laid his life down for us. We should never get tired of singing, oh, victory in Jesus. And one song that I know that we sing as believers, and we sing it because I believe that we truly believe that we're in God's army, and this song is this. And I used to think, why are we always singing this song? But as I've gotten older and I begin to understand this a little bit more, I'm so thankful for a song that we sing. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. No more heartache over there. Those words just came to resonate in my mind over and over and over again. We should never get tired of hearing these stories that we've heard from as a child and now as we're older, elderly and getting up there. We should never tire these stories. Why? Because he laid his life down for you and for me. He is the ultimate soldier. He shed his blood for you and for me. Thank God Almighty. Let's stand and have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, tonight as we've heard this message, God, thank you for sending us your Son to go to war for us, to go to battle for us, to have scars to be developed about his body, to have his blood shed for us so that we can have our freedom in him. And our freedom comes because we believe what he has done on that day. Thank you, Lord, for the many who have professed in this room tonight of accepting you as Lord and Savior. Tonight I'm more grateful for my salvation than I was when I walked in here, knowing the real reason why you shed your blood for us. Jesus, thank you for showing us what a soldier should be, how a soldier should keep on fighting even when he's weary, tired, bloodied, and it all seems like it's doom and gloom. Thank you for your dedication for us. Thank you for your love for us. We love you tonight for this reason, because you first loved us. Bless us as we leave from here tonight. Lord, again, help us to reflect this weekend. It's not just a weekend for us just to gather around as a family, but God, we're grateful for those things, but God, help us to consider and be thankful for the men and women who sacrificed their lives for us. We ask it in your name. Amen.